We are grateful to God every time we can be here to worship. We had said that we would not have any large meetings this weekend because we will have them in 2 weeks from now. Then it will be Easter. And yet we are grateful for every opportunity we have to hear God's word. I have brought a sermon by Brother Branham with me today, which he preached exactly 30 years ago at Easter 1957. I listened to it briefly and think it will strengthen us in the faith. I only listened to about 10 minutes, but it did me good. And I will tell you why. It makes a difference who is speaking. Someone can talk for an hour and not say much. But when a person speaks from experience with God, then he knows what he is saying. Then there is not emptiness behind what he says, but fullness, the full gospel. And we live in a time, I think we are all aware of this, when things are getting worse and worse, and every single one of us feels the pressure. Not just us, but everyone else too. I was surprised this morning when I received a phone call informing me that the wife of a Pentecostal preacher who had been sick and had gone from doctor to doctor and then to a naturopath, and finally she had taken her own life in despair. The person who called me was the wife of a Protestant pastor, and she asked, "Mr. Frank, how can this be? How can something like this happen in a Pentecostal church?" I said, "You know what? I also know what despair is. What we all need is God's help. Moaning is not the answer. Neither is giving up. But taking God at His word, believing God, seeing His word as true, not rolling up our sleeves and saying, this is what we are going to do now, but making ourselves available to God so that He can do it. We also sang, the great physician now is near. And if we were to ask, who among us needs healing? Then some hands would go up. I am aware of that. We simply have to stand on the ground of faith and claim the field. There is no other way. You all know that the enemy will always, and not just from today, but since ancient times, he will make life difficult for the people of God. What did our Lord have to go through? And he went his way to the end. We must do the same. We cannot look at the circumstances. If you read what happened to the Lord at the hands of men, they accused our beloved Lord of the following. In John chapter 10, verses 19 to 21, it is written, John 10, 19 to 21, There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He has a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? There has always been hostility. The prophets had it. The Lord had it. And we will have it. And what we will still have is what the Lord justified in Luke chapter 6 when he referred to what David did with his companions. Luke chapter 6, here he was accused. And then he says in verse 3, And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this? What David did when he and his companions were hungry, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone. And he said unto them, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Again and again there was something to criticize about him, his ministry, his preaching. There was something to criticize about everything, but he continued on his way. And you can believe me, whether people walk on foot or drive in cars, wherever they may be, if they are believers, their path will be steep and thorny. We cannot wait to be understood on earth. If we are understood on earth, then heaven will no longer understand us. Heaven and earth, God and humanity are so far apart. If we stand on God's side, then we will fare as the Lord said. If they hated me, they will also hate you. If they obeyed my word, they will also obey yours. So there will always be two groups. They are not the same group. They are two different groups. One group accepts everything that comes from God and hears the word with joy. The other group, and this does not quite fit here, but you all know, there are also some examples in the earthly realm that have a lot to tell us. People are always criticizing, and I say this because we all have to get used to it. And the sooner we understand that it is part of being a believer, that it cannot be without it. If a believer has no enemies, then I wonder who they believe in. Every believer will be misunderstood in this world. But I don't want to tell the parable. You all know I'm not good at stories, but it's really true that you can't please everyone on earth. Now returning briefly to Psalm 146, here we are told about people. Put not your trust in princes, nor in human beings, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day, his thoughts perish. When this verse was read, I thought of Golgotha. I thought of Golgotha. Someone died there too. But there, God's thought or plan did not come to an end. There it began. There it got down to business. How different God is compared to humans. God had purposed a plan. He had to become man in order to die in the flesh, to bring his work, which he had planned from eternity, to completion through the Spirit. And God did this deliberately, so that he could swallow up death in this body of flesh. In the spiritual body, he could not die, only in the flesh. And then he pulled out the sting of death. It became so great to me. People make plans, and when they die, their plans are over. When our Lord died, God's plan with humanity was realized. It became reality. And it goes on to say, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Who executeth judgment for the oppressed, who giveth food to the hungry. Let us believe this tonight. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. He will give us the bread of life today. He will strengthen us today. He will comfort us today. He can also heal today. His word is eternally true. The sacrifice is accomplished. We must dare to take God at his word in faith. This part is also still true. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. But he makes the way of his people a highway. As it is written in Isaiah 35, a way in which even a fool cannot err. Only those who consider themselves wise err on the way of God, and therefore must become fools before God. God has no need of anyone to teach him. He is pleased with people who accept his teaching, who seek his advice and listen to what he has to say. May this word be blessed on us. And now we will listen to half of the sermon and then the second part tomorrow. In this way, we will also ensure that all who are here tonight will come back tomorrow to hear the next part. God bless you all. Let us sing, Only Believe.
Glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich, o glaube nur. Glaube nur, alles ist wirklich, o glaube nur. Jesus ist hier, Jesus ist hier. Möglich, weil Jesus ist hier. Jesus ist hier. Jesus ist hier. Alles ist möglich.
Now I have chosen tonight for my scripture reading out of the book of Acts, the second chapter, and the 25th, 26th, and 27th verses inclusive. And it reads as this, Peter speaking, David, for David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. What a beautiful text for this night. Or to give the context of him being in the tomb. The first thing we wish to draw your attention to is the infallibility of God's Word. God keeps His Word to the letter. And tonight we want to fasten our thoughts on that, that God keeps His Word. We can rest assured of anything that God has said in His Word to be the truth. And faith does not rest upon the shifting sands of man's ideas or man's theology, but it has its final resting place on the unmovable rock of God's eternal Word. The Word, if God has said it, that is forever the truth.
Amen.
He can never take it back and say, I did not mean it. I can say things. You can say things. Then we are prone to have to take it back because we said it with the best of our knowledge and with the best of our ability. But then God is so much different from us. He is infant. Therefore, He does not say one thing unless it is absolutely perfect. He never has to take it back, never has to apologize for what He said. It always stands the truth. Even for Jesus, in this great days that we're in celebration, when God really slayed His Son for the sins of the world, was perhaps thousands of years before even the foundation was ever laid. God spoke the Word, and it's a finished product in heaven when God speaks it. It's already finished. Oh, if we could only grasp what that means, what different people we would be to see in His books the judgments that is placed in here for the disobedient, it would make a man examine himself hour by hour. It would make the righteous rejoice hour by hour to read the blessings that God has promised to the faithful. And we can rest assured that every word will be fulfilled. Just anchor our soul on it. It's always been that way. When God spoke to Noah, way back in the Antediluvian world, maybe perhaps before a Bible was ever written, or this Bible anyhow was ever written, God told Noah there was coming a storm and the waters were going to cover the earth. And without one speck of evidence that it would happen, everything very contrary, Noah moved with fear and built the ark, prepared it. It was for the saving of his household and himself. Amen. God never let him down, because it was his word. It had to happen when God said it would happen. Right. Now, when Job, the oldest book in the Bible that's written perhaps before Genesis was written, and it was included in the Bible, and Moses wrote the Genesis. Job, in his book, he rested solemnly upon the promise God made him. And he stood by his burnt offering without a fear in his heart, knowing that what God had said, God was able to perform. And when everything seemed to go contrary, Job stood firm because God's promise was firm. God promised Job, and Job rested on that promise. Oh, if the church could ever get to that place to where it could solemnly rest upon God's eternal word to be the truth. What a difference there would be. What a correcting there would be. What a cutting away there would be. What a joy there would be. What a power there would be. When men and women would take God at face value, what he said is the truth. No matter what the circumstances look like, that has nothing to do with it. God said so, that settles it. And Job, when he was in the most trying time of all his experience, when he had been found in the presence of God a just man, even God said he was perfect. There was none like him in the earth. And Satan was given the privilege to tempt him, saying, I'll make him curse you to your face. And he almost took Job's life and would have done it, but God drawed a boundary line. Said, you can do anything to him, but don't take his life. Then when Job stood at the very tempting of the crucial moment, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And at the last days he'll stand on the earth. Though the skin worms destroys this body, amen, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Amen. No matter how dark it seemed and how unreal it seemed, there was something that Job anchored his soul on, God's eternal promise. Oh, if we could only do that. Notice, he rested on the promise. I know my Redeemer liveth. Oh, they had the word. They had the revelation. And may I stop here to say that the church of the living God is built upon divine revelation. Amen. Not upon denomination, organization, not upon creeds or doctrines, but on spiritual revealed truth of the living God.
Amen. Amen.
Abel in the Garden of Eden had it. When the church began, how did he know to bring a lamb? Why didn't he bring fruit like Cain did? But it was revealed to him. Jesus once speaking said, Who does man say I, the Son of Man, am? Some said you're Moses and Elijah, so forth. He said, but who do you say I am? You see, it doesn't rest upon what somebody else thinks. It's what you know to be the truth.
Amen.
What do you say?
Amen.
That question would meet every one of us in the face tonight. What do you say? And Peter, quickly speaking up, without one hesitation, said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. As Jesus, who knew the secrets of all hearts, for he was none other than Jehovah manifested in flesh. And he said, Blessed art thou, Simon, the son of Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has did this. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it.
Hallelujah.
And we people, as we come on, we Lutheran want to walk by faith. We Methodists want to shout to get it. You Pentecostals want to speak with tongues to get it. But that's 10 million miles from it.
Amen.
It is a divine revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The person
Amen.
Of his being made
Amen.
Manifest in the heart.
Amen.
Upon this rock I'll build my church.
Amen. Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It works perfect with Matthew 24:5-24, or St. John 5:24. He that heareth my words and believeth
Amen.
On him that sent me has
Amen.
Everlasting life
Amen.
And shall never come into condemnation,
Amen.
But has passed from death unto life.
Amen.
Not because you had any move, any emotion, but because you have been the privilege of having Christ revealed to you from heaven.
Amen.
Upon this rock I'll build my church.
Praise the Lord.
At Job of old, when we hear that ashes to ashes and dust to dust, it reminds me of Longfellow, who said, Tell me not in mournful numbers. Life is just an empty dream, and the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. He said, Yea, life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal, for dust thou art, the dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. They call it a theosophist, that when we leave here, we go in somewhere else. Whatever it may be, I take the apostle's word.
Amen.
When he said, If this earthly tabernacle or dwelling place be dissolved,
Amen.
We have one already waiting
Amen.
To move from this into that. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job, all the prophets, they trusted and believed that there was coming a resurrection, that the Redeemer was coming. They prophesied of him. Enoch prophesied of him, rested solemnly, sealed his testimony with it. Isaac, Jacob, Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they rested solemnly upon the time that the Messiah would come. And they died, and their souls went into paradise. They could not go in the presence of God because we had it last night that the blood of bulls and goats could not forgive sins. It only covered sins. Speaking of the day when the perfect sacrifice caused the blood of the animal could not come back to the worshiper. For then he would have not ceased to offer sacrifices at that time. But when the Son of God died, the life that was in him was none other but God to come back and adopt us into the family of God, and now we are children of God. The life from his blood. Now notice quickly, as we follow, when back in the Old Testament, And those who believed and worshiped and died in the faith waiting for that time. The reason those prophets did that and wanted to be buried in Palestine, they knew that the resurrection was not going to be in Egypt. It was going to be in Palestine alone. That's what I say tonight. I've got all kinds of names. I don't care what people call me. Amen. That doesn't mean a thing to me. The only thing that I want to do is know this, that I have been dead and my life is hid in Christ through God and sealed by the Holy Ghost, that when He calls from among the dead, I'll answer on that day.
Amen.
Bury me in Christ. For those that are in Christ, will God bring with Him at that day?
Amen.
How do we get in Christ? 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one Spirit.
Amen.
We are all baptized into one body.
Amen.
And become fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. We profess to be pilgrims and strangers on this earth anymore, not seeking these worldly things, but looking for the coming of the blessed King to take over the domain from sea to boundless sea when He comes in His glory. Certainly we look for His coming. And then no doubt in my mind, but that's what Jesus had in His mind when He was here on earth, was that infallibility of God's eternal Word. For we know that in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead body. The entire Godhead was in Him.
Amen.
He was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but dwelt in a human form. The theosophies of God, the great image of God that He made man in, then placed him in earth. He had a body. God isn't without a body. God's got a body, and it looks like a man. Moses saw it, others saw it, and it looks like a man, and it's just an impression. This is of what that is, and everything on earth, the beauty, the sweetness, the beauty of the earth is nothing else in the world but an answer to a far better than that that waits us when we leave this world.
Amen.
For everything in earth is just a pattern of that which is in heaven. Everything that's good, everything that's righteous, everything that's beautiful, trees, birds, everything is just a pattern of what's in heaven. Our own life is just a pattern. It's just a shadow and not the real thing. It's the negative sign. It takes death to develop the picture to put us back in the theosophies we come from. Then in the resurrection we come in His likeness.
Amen.
A resurrected body. What a beautiful, not only beautiful, but it is the real solemn truth of God's eternal Word that we'll be like Him. Notice, now Jesus invested with all the powers of God, but when He met Satan, He never used any of His powers. He only referred to the Word. He did. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
Then how can you say you can stay home and be just as good a Christian as you would be at church?
Amen.
You can't do it.
No.
Read the Word. The Holy Spirit feeds on the Word.
Yeah.
The Bible is God's spiritual diet for His church. And the Holy Spirit is the one who brings it to you.
Amen.
And places it in the heart. And with thanksgiving you water it. And every divine promise will produce just exactly what God said it would do.
Amen.
Got to. It's His Word and it's life. Now, I forgot that I was just supposed to have a half hour. It takes me so long to get to what I want to say. Jesus, in the last hour or two of His life, many, many prophecies was fulfilled. Someone said to me, Brother Branham, this has to happen and that has to happen. I said, it could happen in an hour. If you'll read the 22nd Psalm and then watch His dying hour at the cross, I just forget now how many outstanding prophecies was fulfilled in the last 2 or 3 hours of his life. Oh, what a dreadful hour. I think of that song, and honest, it just makes me feel terrible. When I think that song that the poet wrote many years ago, mid rending rocks and darkening skies, my Savior bowed his head and died. The open veil revealed the way to heaven's joys and endless day. And when he was hanging there bleeding and dying, when he bowed his head, the Son got so ashamed of himself to look down upon mortal creatures who God made in his image would have to pay such a price as that to redeem it. The Son refused to look down on the earth in that hour. The moon was so embarrassed till he withdrew his place and the stars turned their back to the earth. What a horrible thing sin must be. How God had to deal with it. It must have had a nervous prostration, for the Bible said that the whole earth from the 6th to the 9th hour was dark, was over the whole face of the earth, and the earth shook, and the rocks rent, and the temple veil tore from top to the bottom. The sacrifice box turned over. The Son of the living God died.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
He was so dead until the Son recognized it. He was so dead till the moon recognized it. He was so dead till the stars recognized it. He was so dead till the earth recognized it. He was so dead till the elements recognized it. The atmospheres recognized it. Everything had to know that was the Son of God. For God's word could not fail. He was promised from the Garden of Eden the seed that would bruise the serpent's head. Now what happened to him? Where did he go? When he left the cross and went in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, he was so poor he had not a place to lay his head. He was born in a manger with a black name behind him. As an illegitimate child, he was laughed at, made fun of, scoffed of in the earth. He was made fun of and rejected. And when he died, he had to die through capital punishment between two thieves and did not even have a place to bury. And he was buried in another man's grave. The very God of heaven coming to earth. Who do we think we are? To have to go through a little suffering. What he did for us. Think of it, friend. Study of it. And when Jesus died, he goes up down there. I can see him on that Friday afternoon after his death. Knock on the door of the regions of the lost. Let's follow him in a minute. The door opens. There was women. There was man. There were young ladies. There were old. There were all together in that hideous place called the prison of the lost souls. If I had time, I'd like to tell you, and it might be just a vision, but in one time I visited that place and screamed for mercy when I was a sinner going under operation. When I come out, I was standing in the west with my hands up towards the heaven and a cross shining on me. But in that mournful place, there Jesus walked to the door. Everything had to witness that he was the Son of God because they had been preached to in the long suffering of the days of Noah. Knocks at the door. He said, I am he who Enoch spoke of. I am the seed of the woman that was to bruise the serpent's head. Every word of God has been fulfilled. I've just died yonder at Calvary. And I've purchased my church. And the ones that Enoch spoke of, I'm he. And they was without mercy, without hope, because they had transgressed. And the door was shut in their face. On down into the regions of demons. On down to the very gates of hell. He knocks at the door. This is when he's in a tomb, his body is, waiting the resurrection. He visits the places that the just and unjust goes. Where you'll go one of these days, to one of the other places. And he knocks at the door of hell. And when it did, the devil come out. And I can just hear him say, "Oh, so finally you arrived. I sure thought I had you when I killed Abel." You see, when that seed was promised in the Garden of Eden, the devil has constantly tried to destroy that seed.
Amen. Yes.
And the death of Abel and the coming of Seth was just the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That seed must continue. And he tried to destroy it. He said, "I thought I had you when I destroyed Abel. I thought I had you when I destroyed the prophets. I was positive I had you when I beheaded John. But now, after all, you've arrived. I've got you now." Oh, my. I can hear him say, "Satan, come here." He's boss now. Reaches over, grabs that key of death and hell off his side, hung it on his own side. "I want to serve notice on you. You've been a bluff long enough. I am the virgin-born Son of the living God. My blood is still wet on the cross and the full debt is paid."
Amen.
"You have no rights no more. You are stripped. Give me those keys." That's right. Turns around and gives him a good healthy kick and slams the door together and says, "Stay in there. I'm boss now." Now, he didn't have the keys to the kingdom because he gave them to Peter. We get on that in the morning at water baptism.
Amen.
But he had the keys to death and hell, and he took them. After his resurrection, he said, "I've got the keys of death and hell."
Amen.
Peter had the keys of the kingdom. Satan had the keys of death and hell. But now Jesus has got them. He's boss. Here he starts up. It's getting Easter. Time's passing fast. But there's another group. Where is Job? Where's Abraham? Where are they at? Where's those fellows that trusted God's word? Has he forgotten them? Did death annihilate them? Was that all of it? Never. Never! God has to keep his word.
Yeah.
I can see him. Let's take a little peep into paradise. And look over there. And I see Sarah and Abraham walking around there. And after a while, something on the door. Abraham goes and opens the door. Said, "Honey, come here. Looky here. Looky here. That's the very same one that stood with me on the oak that day."
Amen.
He's Abraham's God.
Amen.
Just then I can see Daniel look over his shoulder and say, "That's the rock that was shoot out of the mountain."
Yeah.
Just as certain as I'm standing here. I see Job raise up, said, "That's my Redeemer." And I said, "I knew that lived and someday he'd stand up on the earth."
Yeah.
My body may not be but a little spoonful of ashes, but in a 15 minutes from now I'll be in it again.
Amen.
That's him. Ezekiel looks over the top and said, "I seen that same person as a wheel in the middle of the wheel."
Yes.
Turning way up in the middle of the air. Oh my. Then up comes Enoch. Enoch said, "I saw him coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute."
Amen.
There was the Old Testament saints waiting. Sure they was. Under the atonement of blood, they could not go in the presence of the God of heaven. Because goat and sheep blood cannot take away sin. But he said, "My brethren, I am the one that you think I am. I am the seed of the woman. I am the son of David. I am the son of God. I am the virgin born one. My blood has atoned for it. You waited on the blood of sheep and goats, but now my blood atones and you're free. Let's go out. It's getting almost Easter."
Yeah.
Amen. Just think, that was just about 1900 something years ago tonight.
Amen.
I hear Abraham say, "Lord, when we get up in her body again, and Sarah and I just loved it so well. Do you mind if we make a little whistle stop while you're on your own? Well, I can hear him say, well, no, certainly not. I'm going to stay with my disciples for about 40 days. When he rose from the dead, the Bible said, according to St. Matthew 27, that many of the saints that slept in the dust of the earth rose and come out of the graves. Who was it?
Abraham,
Isaac, Jacob, Job, those who by spiritual revelation know that the Redeemer would stand on the earth someday. That's them, the first fruits of those that slept. There they walked in the city. I see Sarah and Abraham, young and full of, and handsome and full of life, never to be old no more, never to be sick no more, never to hunger no more, walking around in their body. Caiaphas is standing there saying, you know what? Is that mythical? No, sir. I'll show you the scriptures in a minute. When he began to go up, they only seen him. But the Old Testament saints went with him. For the Bible said that he led captivity captive and give gifts unto man. And I can see him as he goes up in George with his church, two angels out of the band that were playing the music. Come back down and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up for this same Jesus that was taken up's coming again?
Yes.
Certainly, they hurried back to join the procession. And down through the skies, Jesus and the Old Testament saints went. They passed the moon. They passed the sun. They passed the stars. And when they got inside of that great, beautiful white heavens, the Old Testament saints screamed out, quoting scripture, lift up ye everlasting gates.
Amen.
And be lifted up.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Lift up ye everlasting gates and be lifted up and let the King of glory come in.
Amen.
All the angels gathered up on the top of the banisters of heaven and said, who is this King of glory? The Old Testament saints said, the Lord of hosts, mighty in battle.
Amen.
He was a conqueror.
Praise God.
The angel pressed the big button and the pearly gate swung open right down to the city of Jerusalem. Come the great mighty conqueror. Bringing the Old Testament saints, the angelic bands are playing and the angels are shouting. He was the mighty conqueror. He had the keys of death and hell hanging on his side. Going right down past the palaces of glory till he got to the throne. And he said, Father, here they are. They believed in faith on your word that I'd come someday. I have conquered both death and hell.
Amen.
What was it, brother? He had the scars in his hand to show that he'd been in the battle.
Yes, amen.
Glory to God in the highest.
Yes,
amen. He is that mighty conqueror.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Here they are, Father. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I can hear him say, son, climb up here by my side and sit down.
Amen.
Until I make every enemy your footstool.
Yes.
Brother, someday he will come again. And what a day it'll be. He wasn't idle when he was in the tomb. We think he was just laying there dead. But he was down still conquering. He went down and took the keys away from Satan. He's got the keys of both death and hell tonight. He said, because I live, you can live also.
Amen.
I wonder tonight, my dear brother, sister, have you thought that over sincerely? Do you realize that you only live because he lives?
Yeah.
Have you appreciated enough to offer up yourself and say, God, here I am, a sinner, be merciful to me?
Yeah.
Have you ever accepted that all-sufficient sacrifice? Have you ever told him you loved him? Does it hurt your feelings when you do wrong? If you've never come to that experience now in this entombment when our time's getting away, just feeling fine. But I'm wondering if you haven't ever received Christ as your personal Savior, I wonder if you would do it while we bow our heads just a moment in a word of prayer.
I believe we have all been strengthened in our faith. It sounds so simple, but it is so powerful. Above all, as I said earlier, when then the confirmation comes to it, and it is not just words, but the Lord can confirm the word. It is written, I believe, in John 20, perhaps verse 20, and they rejoiced when they saw the Lord. I believe our joy will be great when we see the Lord walking among us, that he can truly bear witness that no one has to say, the Lord is here, but that everyone knows it and everyone experiences it. But it will depend on our faith and also on our devotion, obedience, dedication, and expectation. It will absolutely not depend on God, but truly only on us. And we must know what God has promised us. If the Spirit of God can truly make this great in us, and we believe it, then nothing can stand in the way. Then it must happen. Brother Branham, as we saw, did not even get to the text. He wanted to speak about Acts 2, 25 to 27, where Peter spoke with reference to Christ. It said that my Holy One would not see corruption, and so it happened. The body could not see corruption. Before 72 hours had passed, when corruption sets in, he had long since risen. Every word of God is inflexible. It cannot be broken. Now that everything has been fulfilled in him, and also in all the prophets, in all of them, tell me, when has God's word not been fulfilled? It is even being fulfilled now, on Israel, on the nations, in world events, in many areas, indeed in all areas. Will we have to go empty-handed? No, that's impossible. But with us, it depends on faith. The Jews, for example, have a veil over their hearts, and God has taken it away without them perhaps knowing what it is all about. Some know, others do not. But the veil has been taken away from us through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we do not want to merely try to believe, but to believe from the heart, not to let ourselves be dragged down, but to be lifted up. We should also ensure that we help one another, that everyone receives God's help. Now we will stand up and give thanks to the Lord. We have heard your word in simplicity, but your word never returns void. It accomplishes what you send it to do. Lord, we also thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the sermons that were poorly recorded. There are bits and pieces in them that do us so much good. There is substance, life, revelation, and power in them. Lord, we thank you that you had a man whom you could send, with whom you could be visible, O Lord. Today we believe this message that he brought in your name, according to your word. Let the same things happen soon. Beloved Lord, take from our lives, from our thoughts, from our hearts, take everything out so that you may have your way, Lord. Take away all obstacles so that you may work freely. Oh, beloved Lord, grant us also the right way to treat one another. Beloved Savior, you know and understand all things. Grant us grace that we may just look up to you in faith, knowing that you will make all things well. Lord, we believe that in the end you will reveal your victory once again. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to your name. Faithful Lord, we lay before you the weak and sick who are in our midst. Faithful God, the devil is a liar. On Golgotha, you also bore sickness in your own body to the cross. And our sin and our iniquity, beloved Lord, may we believe with all our hearts and claim the entire work of redemption, which includes the whole man, salvation of the soul, deliverance of the spirit, healing of the body. Faithful Lord, fill us with joy and peace, with courage in faith, that we may go forward. Lord, it has been a long time since you revealed yourself. Faith among your people has declined. We ask you to strengthen us in faith. Surprise us, Lord, with your presence. Come yourself with your Spirit upon us. Create a loving atmosphere in which you can work and confirm your word. We now take you at your word, Lord. You have said, "The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall you do." Beloved Lord, you have promised restoration. Yes, you have promised many things. May we take you at your word, beloved Lord, that nothing may stand between us and you, between us and one another, that we may all be gathered together in a sanctified, purified atmosphere in your presence. Lord, grant us reverence for your word, for your name. Let us know what it means to be gathered before your face. Lord, give us the right attitude in everything. Praise and glory be to your name. We thank you also for this short message. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.